Last month, U-Turn Dance Company broke new ground by creating a program called Unheard Insight. It was designed to give both the hearing impaired and the visually impaired a chance to experience the world of dance. Next Friday, September 29th, U-Turn Dance is giving a free encore performance of Unheard Insight. And from the Arts Connection archives, here's part of a conversation we had with U-Turn directors Dario Moore and Craig Johnson. From its beginnings in 2004, U-Turn Dance wanted its community outreach to be as important as their performances. Founders Dario Moore and Craig Johnson have partnered with various community agencies to unite the arts with humanitarian projects. One of their most ambitious undertakings is called Unheard Insight. It's designed to reach an audience that doesn't fully experience the arts, the blind and deaf community. Craig Johnson.
Unheard Insight is a very special project to us because it really is a true reflection of our mission, that we're trying to broaden the scope and intention of the arts. We're working in collaboration with Lighthouse Central Florida. They service blind people all throughout Central Florida. We're working with the Deaf Service Bureau of West Central Florida and the Center for Independent Living. They're guiding us very closely on how to make this project truly accessible to unique audiences.
Craig Johnson says this has been one of U-Turn's most challenging projects.
Immediately we discovered that it would be relatively easy to reach deaf audiences because they do have the visual element. What will happen is we will be incorporating American Sign Language into the choreography. There will be an interpreter for the deaf people on stage. But as far as blind individuals go, what we're doing is we're actually integrating a documentary into the production. So they're going to hear, it's going to be an extremely rich auditory experience for blind individuals. So they're going to understand, they're going to have an artistic experience on a very auditory level.
Artistic director Dario Moore had his company become directly involved in learning about the hearing and visually impaired and the world that they live in.
We're taking classes, we're learning sign language, we're a little braille, that's very, very difficult. We're learning how to appropriately communicate and or interact with blind people. And there is a manner of doing that. And I think Central Florida could benefit from knowing this information so that you're not terrified by a blind person when you see them coming. And actually you could interact in a manner that's appropriate. So we're learning how to interact with them, and then we're bringing it to the stage. In addition, I intend to open the show after having been led around the Helen Stairs Theater with a blind lady and her CNI dog, and perform a dance solo with my eyes blindfolded. The process is very overwhelming. What blind people go through, we have no clue at all. Just blindfold yourself for 15 minutes and see how you fare around your own house. It's absolutely terrifying. The courage that blind people go through, we could learn a great deal from their experiences, but we don't realize that because we don't know about their experiences. And what we're going to bring is their truth to the stage and share that truth in a very powerful way through movement.
In preparation for this program, U-Turn Dance has worked directly with blind and deaf people, and it's had a profound effect on company members.
We learned from Lighthouse Central Florida that many blind people who are born blind don't really have a true understanding of coordinated movement, because so much of coordination and movement development is dependent upon visual cues. One woman was explaining to me that she didn't know how to skip, the simple act of skipping, for the first 10 years of her life because she didn't understand what the movement looked like. So by integrating a tactile element, they're actually going to be able to experience movement that they've never experienced before.
I'm overwhelmed by that process just to think about it alone, to think that here I am with a 45-year-old woman who's never skipped before, and she's skipping with me, and the joy and the excitement from knowing that you're doing something that a sighted person could do is overwhelming. It's on a spiritual level to do this work, to be able to interact on that level. It teaches me so much about freedom, and the fact that we're giving freedom to this audience through simple practices and exercises and things like that is very liberating for me. It teaches me how to be teaches me how to be grateful for the fact that I have sight and that I have access to my full capacity. I'm so grateful for this process.
That interview first aired last month. Dario Moore and U-Turn Danks will present an encore performance of Unheard Insight next Friday, September 29th at 7 p.m. It's at the Hellingstairs Theater in Sanford, and it's free. Special seating is available for those with sight or hearing limitations. For information, call 407-695-8366 or see the Arts Connection page of WMFE.org. This is the Arts Connection on 90.7. I'm Becky Morgan. Following the lead of John Ringling, who first wintered his circus here in the mid-1920s, Florida's West Coast has become a center for American circus people. It was here that the art of clowning was first formally taught at Ringling's Clown College. Bill Dudley talks to a pair of Florida performers with a passion for clowning and educating others in their craft.
The second you see a clown, your whole being just changes. You know, it relaxes you a little bit. A little smile might come to your face, just because what clowning has meant to people throughout the ages.
The philosophy of clowning. Well, the thing about it is you try to give out this happiness and this smiles and this laughter. You know, I saw a smile in your face. Well, that smile is what I'm after. And I'm sure it'll extend your life, you know, even. Yeah.
Aaron Watkins and Keith Stokes, two Floridians who share a mission to educate others in the ancient art and practice of clowning.
Good morning. This is Toby the Clown Foundation. Sure.
Stokes, a.k.a. Toby the Clown, heads up an organization headquartered in the town of Lake Placid, in a building that serves as both a classroom and a museum. There are cases of memorabilia, and on the walls, pictures of famous clowns of history, plus framed letters from Red Skelton and President George Bush. Even out of costume, Toby looks and acts far younger than his years. After serving on the crew of a B-17 in World War II, flying food drops into Eastern Europe, he came back to found a Midwestern life insurance company while clowning for the Shriners before coming to Florida nearly 30 years ago.
I had four lawyers and three secretaries, and I got tired. I was just absolutely wore out. And when I retired, I didn't want any telephone. I didn't want to do anything. So I moved here in Lake Placid and just kind of hid. And then they started a hospital out here.
It wasn't long before Toby was back in action, bringing smiles to people in rest homes, daycare centers, rodeos, and brightening hospital rooms with what he calls clown medicine.
Clown medicine is smiles and laughter, yes, and love. You can look them right in the eye and you can love them.
I was working at a bank and they asked me to put together a PR thing. So I had a Halloween costume contest, and that's the first time I dressed up as a clown. That was down in Broward County. 30 years ago.
Diane Kirk, a.k.a. Daisy, is the museum's curator and a graduate of the School for Clowns Stokes founded, where he and his staff train others in face makeup and other techniques, history of clowning, and related activities like skits, children's puppetry, and balloon sculpture. Plus, one of the most important lessons for beginners, finding your own special clown persona.
And in the first school, I had six. This was in 1991. And since then, I have personally trained 700 clowns. And they're all over the United States, Canada, Mexico, and Puerto Rico.
The Lake Placid School is in the tradition of Ringling's original clown college in Sarasota, started in the late 1960s to replenish what was then an aging population of American clowns. Before closing in 1997, the college trained a small army of performers, like Aaron Watkins, who as a theater student in Athens, Ohio in the early 1980s, stepped in when a local merchant needed a clown on short notice.
And the next day, I started clowning, and that day literally changed my life.
Years later, Watkins left a New York acting career after being one of the lucky few accepted by Clown College. He toured with the Ringling Circus and later returned to work as dean of students at the college.
It just amazed me, the difference between acting and clowning. To me, clowning was sort of the ultimate form of acting. As a clown, you're an icon, so immediately you have an effect on people, which I think is an artist's ultimate goal, is to impact people, to show them, give them a little insight into their life by showing them some insights in your life.
The art of clowning has evolved over several thousand years, from ancient Greek theater down through the 16th century Italian commedia dell'arte. Most modern clowns fall into one of three types: white-face clowns, character clowns like cowboys and tramps, and August, from the German expression for fool.
White-faced clown never gets the pie in the face, whereas the tramp clown and the goose clown is the one that receives the pie in the face, or the water.
I think good clowns just take parts of themselves and extend that. When you put the makeup on, a lot of people think, I can do more as a clown than a person because I'm hiding myself. But a good clown really doesn't hide him or herself. They're really exposing themselves.
Well, clowning is love. It's just sharing and smiling, and you just blossom. You become the person inside you that wants to get out, and you can be everything you want to be. It's a lot of fun.
There's only about 30,000 clowns in the United States now. That's all. Serving 300 million people is terrible. We need many more clowns, you see. Think of that.
There are never enough clowns.
We know that laughter is healthy. It's healthy. It stimulates the blood circulation. It opens up your lungs, even, as laughter does. And so it's, therefore, it's just something that is great to give away. And when you give it away, invariably, whether you want it or not, it just comes back to you double fold.
Keith Stokes, also known as Toby the Clown. I'm Bill Dudley. With funding from the Florida Department of State Division of Cultural Affairs, this report was produced by the Florida Humanities Council. Visit us on the web at flahum.org.
Log on to wmfe.org and you'll find links to the Toby the Clown Foundation and other websites related to the art of clowning. Auditions are coming up next on The Casting Call, and then season previews from Rawlings College and a theater for young people. This is 90.7 NPR News and Classical Music. Thanks for listening. Here's this week's casting call. I'm Sue Beld. Monday is the deadline for artists to submit works for the Kissimmee Sculpture Experience, a year-long exhibit of outdoor sculptures. The Atlantic Center for the Arts is holding a juried review for their 2007 Harris House exhibit season. Portfolios must be submitted by October 1st. The City of Deltona is looking for performers for their 2007 Music in the Courtyard series. The deadline is October 31st. And the City of Rockledge is accepting applications from visual artists to exhibit at the 9th Annual Musical Medley and Art Festival. The deadline is also October 31st. Details for these and other opportunities can be found at the Arts Connection pages of WMFE.org. Just follow the link for the casting call. For the Arts Connection, I'm Sue Belt.